Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now hath come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. That's right, starting in 40 AD and going up to now, today, she has made appearances. Now, this isn't because people prayed for it or asked for it or fantasized for it to happen. Many people were not even thinking about it. And what happened was they just were minding their own business, going through their typical day, and all of a sudden here's this brilliant light with a beautiful woman in, and sometimes they didn't even know who she was. Did not even know who she was. Maybe for months they didn't know who she was. Sometimes they thought she might be a spirit or a ghost or maybe even a demon, but they didn't understand because they didn't ask for this. But all in all, she has made these appearances, and miracles have happened, and amazing artifacts have been left behind, and science has taken a close look at the visionaries, and all in all, they've decided that there's something very supernatural going on that they cannot explain. And that includes groups from France and Spain and Italy and Australia and the United States and all over the place, different research groups and scientists. And they can't explain the things that they're finding. And so they just kind of say, well, something supernatural is definitely going on here. So we decided to take these stories, and my gosh, there's over 2,600 of them, closing in on 2,700. So that kind of proves that there's been a lot of appearances in just 2,000 years, more than one a year. And in each place, she might appear numerous times. The longest running apparition was 54 years. To one visionary. 54 years, a lifetime of appearances. And other times she might appear just once. But when she would, it would make quite an impression. Often she'd ask for a church to be built, or they would just build a shrine or a church anyway in honor of her appearances. So obviously it impacted people quite strongly, the fact that it would inspire them to do such things. And there were public appearances, not just to several visionaries maybe, but to whole crowds as big as the largest crowd I'm aware of is 350,000 people at once, Super Bowl crowds. No, I'm sorry, not eight, five Super Bowl crowds. Five Super Bowl crowds. So obviously, you know, that's a lot of people to see her. So it wasn't just always visionaries, but public appearances too. So we cover all that stuff in this show to help you understand what's been going on, what we make of it, what patterns are there, what messages, why she appears, what impact it has on that area, and maybe that's why she appeared in that area at that time. Last week we talked about an area that had lost its religion, overrun by others, and Catholicism had faded away. Well, once she made her appearance, it was back in a strong way. So it definitely makes a difference, and it is purposeful. It's not just random like it might seem. It seems like there are definite reasons why she shows up when she does. When she showed up in Ireland, it was during the potato famine, and the people lost hope, and it gave them hope. And today it's one of the grandest apparition sites and shrines in Europe, in Knock, Ireland. So, you know, she has an impact. And so what we do on the show is try to study these different episodes, talk about them, discuss them, debate them, but especially present them to you in an educational and inspirational way so that you can kind of get a feel for what's been going on. I didn't know anything about this until about 11 years ago, and then I studied it, and even though there's well over 2,600 documented, I've only studied 100. That's not very many, but you ask any Catholic, and they might know of four or five, maybe six, maybe. So 100's a lot compared to that. And there are the better 100 in terms of documentation, research, investigation, approval status, all those things. So it's a lot of material to cover. Sometimes it takes us weeks to just get through one of them, and that's just summarizing what went on. And it can take maybe as much as 6 weeks to go through all the summaries of what happened. So, you know, it's a lot of information, and we do our best to bring it to you. And my co-host tonight is not present. It's holiday weekend, so our research team is a little sparse, but we do have from Tennessee, Doc is joining us tonight. Good evening, Doc. How are you?
I am happy and blessed and better than I deserve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have at least one extra day off tomorrow.
You know, people keep telling me about these things called weekends and holidays. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm working harder now that I'm retired than I ever did when I had a job.
Well, that might be productive.
So. Stay busy or die.
Yeah, well, sometimes we shift gears, don't we, and go into another direction, but it can keep us busy. I don't know how I've had the time to write books, 4 books now written and published, and all in the last 8 years. It's like, who does that?
2 years of books. That's not bad.
Yeah, every 2 years. So... yeah,
I started on a couple, but then life takes over and they take a back seat and I never pick them back up. Shame, because
well,
I got a couple
process.
Good ones started.
So anyway, and that's with having a full-time job still. So full-time job and writing books and then doing presentations and church stuff, and wow, it's a busy schedule, but it's a really nice schedule. I like what I do. So, and that's why we do this show, because we know that we have tracked as many as 130 countries around the world tuning in. That's amazing. That is amazing. And now I show our co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, is present. Hello, Donald. How are you tonight?
Hey, Donald.
Hey, John. Hey, Doc.
How are
you? We're doing fine. We're doing great. You know.
Good. Glad you're on board. We were just talking about our busy schedules and how we still manage to do interesting and productive things. So.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to you, John, for hosting this show, this series, because this is one of the ones I believe that has had such an impact worldwide on bringing people to the Lord and strengthening them in their faith and encouraging them to hang tough. You know, Our Lady is very powerful in that, as well as Eucharistic miracles. So those two things, as we stand in the gap, we are praying for our country and praying for, deeper truth things. So, and thank you, John.
Well, you're welcome.
And
when I started researching all this, I thought, people got to hear about this. Because I'd ask fellow Catholics, and they go, huh, what, really? It's like, come on, guys, it's right there. All you got to do is look it up and read these things. And they hadn't, and they didn't. And so I thought, well, I've got to get this out there. And this show is one of those ways I reached out to spread it to people. So thank you for that.
From my experience, most people don't know to look. They don't realize what's going on. I've actually had several people... when we talk about miracles, they're like, there are no miracles going on today. You don't hear about no miracles. And I look at them and I'm dumbfounded. I start laughing. And then I start telling them, and their eyes get wide, their jaws drop. I'm like, miracles happens every day. Take a deep breath. You want a miracle? There you go. But beyond that, extraordinary miracles, extraordinary happenings are happening all over the world, but people don't know to look. They become
right.
so complacent in their life that they don't even
right.
realize that there's just so much more out there.
I saw a news report when I believe it was Maui with this Catholic church that was standing perfectly while everything around it was leveled to the ground. And,
yeah.
you know, they were saying, some people were saying it's a miracle. And one of the news people said, oh, no, 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 miracles don't happen anymore. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they said that.
Yeah.
They said, miracles
well,
don't happen anymore.
Well, here's a little bit about that Catholic church. All the other Catholic churches in Maui were burnt to the ground. That's the only one standing. It was the only one out of all of them that did the Latin Mass. So,
interesting.
Yeah. I think Mary's trying to tell us something. We need to go back to the true maps.
I watched a movie today called The Pope's Exorcist. Wow.
Yeah, I saw that. And
amazing.
I mean, you know. I
yeah.
mean, well.
So it's taken from his actual records. And the point I was making was that he said the Latin prayers were the most powerful. And there you mentioned and that's what they said. And I thought that was interesting.
There are four prayers of exorcism that are in the Latin baptism rite that are not given to children that get baptized in the Novus Ordo. Four exorcism prayers of protection against the dominion of the devil. And how many generations
mm-hmm.
of children now? We're looking at six generations that haven't been getting those prayers. And you wonder why the world is in the state it's in. We've
yeah.
given the devil free reign. Free
yep.
range over the whole world. We've given it
yep.
to him. Time to take it back.
Yeah. So tonight we
well, that's
go
what,
to Quito. Go ahead, Donald.
Oh, I was just about ready to say, in fact, well, where you're, what the story tonight, why that is so
yeah.
important to me is
yes,
that you can't get any, I mean, that to me, as far as heaven's message,
mm-hmm.
that is powerful because Our Lady said that we used to have worship here, but we no longer have it right now. And what she's
mm-hmm.
referring to is that the Catholic Church has all but disappeared there. And all these Protestants are there now. Or that's what's, you know, and that's, Our Lady did not consider that worship. It isn't, because there's no
well,
sacrifice. There's the
so
Eucharist.
Our story, actually.
No Eucharist. Well, go
yeah,
ahead,
right.
John, but I mean to.
Yeah, well, our story actually starts in Madrid, Spain, because that's where the visionary began. And it's real interesting because it's like no matter where she went, Mary was sure to follow. And here's how it started. First of all, this is in the year 1610, and Mary is known as Our Lady of Good Success. Our Lady of Good Success. And the exact date of the discovery of the Madrid image is unknown, and we'll talk about what that is in a minute, although it is known that it began when Spanish friars were traveling to the village of Trigueras on their way to Rome to gain approval for the Order of Minims, founded by St. Francis of Paola, 1416 through 1507. That was St. Francis of Paola. When a furious storm descended upon them, they prayed for God's guidance and help. Looking for shelter, they saw a mysterious light coming from a cave. Now, we all know, or we should know, that usually lights don't come from caves, okay? There's no light source in a cave. But they hurried to it, and they found the beautiful statue of the Virgin Mary holding the child Jesus. And surrounding the statue was a shimmering light and the heavenly fragrance of flowers, no doubt, probably roses. So that right there, an interesting beginning in how her original statue was found. Well, nobody in Tregaris knew anything about the statue and did not claim it. The friars carried it with them to Rome because nobody in Tregaris knew anything about it. On arriving there, they met with Pope Paul V, who reigned from 1605 to 1621, who heard the story of the discovery and not only venerated and blessed the statue, but also gratified the friars by granting full approval of their new order of Minims. That's M-I-N-I-M-S. Well, the statue was first placed in the Royal Hospital of Madrid, where many miracles were granted. In fact, there were so many miracles that King Philip III ordered the construction of the Sanctuary of the Puerto de Sol, where the image is found today, beautifully adorned and sumptuously enthroned. So that's the first statue in Madrid. But the image of Our Lady of Good Success in Madrid was dear to the hearts of countless souls, including Sister Mariana of Jesus Torres, who even as a child received visits from the Blessed Mother. So our visionary, Sister Mariana, was receiving visits from Mary as a child. Yeah, she started early. And after joining the Order of the Immaculate Conception, Sister Mariana was sent from Spain to Quito, Ecuador, to found another house of the order, of which she became the abbess. Her great devotion to Our Lady under this title was continued when she arrived in Quito, Ecuador. So Mother Mariana of the Royal Convent of the Immaculate Conception had been having visits from the Virgin Mary for some time when she received a special request from Our Lady. This took place on January 21st, 1610 is when Mary made a special request of Sister Mariana. She said to her, "It is now necessary that you have my holy statue made promptly, just as you see me, and that you make haste to place it in the place which I indicate to you." Well, Mother Mariana responded with great humility, and she said, "Beloved mother of my soul, the tiny ant that thou hast before you will be unable to relate any of thy beautiful features or thy height. It will be necessary that the three archangels who accompany thee would come to sculpt thy statue, which thou asked me to have made, so that the work may be made as thou wilt." In other words, she says, "I don't know nothing about making statues." That's the paraphrase. Hold on a second here. Blessed Mary replied in a calming manner, "Do not be worried about any of this, dear daughter. The perfection of the work is my concern. Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael, but the whole heavenly court will secretly take care of the making of the statue. Regarding my height, bring the cord here that you wear and measure me without fear, since to a mother like me, the confidence, respect, and humility of her daughters pleases her. Beloved daughter, put into my hand one of the ends of your cord, and I will place it upon my forehead, and you will apply the other end to my right foot." The three archangels lifted the crown of the Queen of Heaven while she was placing the end of the cord on her head. But the cord was too short to reach to the ground. So guess what happened? The child Jesus, who she was holding in her arms, reached out from his mother's arms and miraculously stretched the cord in order for it to reach. Then Mother Mariana came out of her visionary ecstasy and now had the exact measurements for the statue. And by the way, if I remember right, it was 5'10" tall. Mary was rather tall for her time. Well, I'll stop there right there for a second and get some reactions. What do you think of that, Donald? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Donald was cut out there. You're back, mm-hmm. Donald, if you can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
He might have muted himself for a minute there. What do you think, Doc? What do you think of that?
Wow.
yeah.
That cord, that still exists?
Oh, I don't know. This is 1611 or 10 or somewhere around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was touched by Christ himself. You think it might have, because that would be an interesting thing. So Mary is 5'10", you're saying?
That's what I remember. I think it will say so here later on in the story. But
yeah,
that's what
so
I remember.
She appeared and she had all three archangels with her. And she carries some heavy guns with her, don't she?
Hey, it's the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So anyway, I always love that because, oh, the cord doesn't stretch. Jesus reaches out. Here you go. Now it works.
You'll fix that.
Yeah, even as a baby, just reach out. Hey, let me stretch that for you. So it was a cute little twist to that little story. I've seen several drawings of that exact moment where he reaches out to do that. So it's a pretty famous part of that story. And
right.
Sister Mariana has had quite the life. We would be here for 3 hours just talking about all that she went through. If I remember, she had a miraculous healing, and she even had a resurrection. She had died and was brought back by Jesus. And this is all before this event with the statue. So she was really well-liked by Jesus and Mary and had many experiences, which we'll cover some of them here.
She died and was brought back.
Yeah, she was one of the few visionaries that was resurrected. Yeah. And spoiler alert, she was also an incorrupt body at the end of her life.
Yeah, I kind of
definitely
figured that was coming.
Yeah, but, touched by heaven, all right. Yeah. Okay, so on February 5th, 1610, contacted a Spanish sculptor, Francisco del Castillo, and honored him with a special project. She was glad someone else was doing it. That would be due for consecration on February 2nd, 1611. So had almost a year, almost exactly a year to get this statue done. The bishop routinely inspected the work going on up in the choir loft where they had some space to work on it. And on January 10th, 1611, he noted that the statue only needed a final coat of paint before completion. The sculptor indicated that he must travel far to Pasto, Colombia to get the fine paints required and then return to Quito, Ecuador. And so he left town, and at midnight, the very first hour of January 16th, which was the day the sculptor was to return, Mother Mariana witnessed the choir loft and the entire church illuminated with a supernatural light. The tabernacle opened by itself. That would do it for me. The tabernacle opened by itself, and the three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, placed themselves before the throne of God, the tabernacle, and something was given to them. Choirs of angels united their voices in singing, and they sang, "Blessed Mary, temple and tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity." In the next instant, Mother Mariana saw the three archangels in the choir loft, illuminating the statue with their divine and mystical light. Then, and joined the three archangels as they approached the unfinished statue. The statue was transformed so rapidly that Mother Mariana could not perceive how it happened. St. Francis took the cord from around his waist and placed it around the statue's waist. Now, Doc, that cord might still be there since it was placed around the statue's waist. I bet they didn't take it off. That'd be really cool. The cord of St. Francis is wrapped around the statue's waist still. Then he and the archangels disappeared as the Blessed Virgin appeared and entered the statue herself while angels continued to sing the Latin hymn, Salva Sancta Parens.
The Latin hymn.
Hey,
I couldn't resist.
Yeah. Now, someone might say, oh, she's just psychotic. She's just seeing all these things and imagining it, hearing angels, seeing archangels, strange lights. She's just making it up. Well, at 3:30 a.m., Mother Mariana came out of her ecstasy and saw the statue still illuminated by divine light. And then all of the convent sisters came to see the miraculous completion of the statue, and they all heard the angels still singing, and they all saw the supernatural light still present. So she couldn't have been imagining things because all the sisters heard the angels, and all the sisters saw the supernatural lighting. Later that day, when the sculptor returned, the nuns watched quietly as he approached the choir loft. They weren't going to tell him anything.
Right.
As he approached the statue, he dropped to his knees and cried out, "This exquisite statue is not my work." He wept as he realized a miracle had been performed. He immediately composed a written statement testifying to the beautiful changes in the sculpting and the painting that were, quote, not of my hands, unquote. Now, the bishop was notified, and he, too, could see it was different, and he knelt and wept with tears before the beautiful masterpiece, validating and verifying the miraculous changes had to have been performed by angels, because that's not what it had looked like before. And he agreed that angels must have completed the wooden statue in the sculptor's absence. Wow.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. And I should tell you all.
If it had been me, though, I wouldn't have started the project unless I already had the paint there. You know, I'm funny that way. But yeah,
well,
wow, it's crazy.
Oh, well, you know, heaven has a way of making sure he ran out of paint at the right moment.
right, yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. But,
yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You all can go see it. It's still there. The statue that is supposedly finished by angels, and hopefully with St. Francis's cord around the waist, is still
there.
Where's
it at again?
In the convent of... I'd have to go back and the Immaculate Conception Convent of the Immaculate Conception in Quito, Ecuador.
Ecuador.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You could easily look it up.
That's a little out of my territory, but I would love to see it.
Well, there are pictures on my website, again, divinemysteries.info. And if you go click on the apparition image of Mary, and then go to table of contents, and then the whole world is organized by continent, country, and within the country's cities. So go to South America, go to Ecuador, and then go to Quito. Click on that, and this whole story will be there with all the pictures, drawings, images, and photos of the statue so you can see. In fact, I can just tell you, it looks like porcelain. doesn't look like wood. The whole statue looks like a beautiful porcelain face. You wouldn't even believe it was wooden. So it truly has an angelic finish on it.
You know, that might be interesting. They could run some tests on it to see if it actually is porcelain. Talk about a miracle. A wooden statue turns into porcelain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they could do that test without harming it, you know.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yep. So it's a beautiful statue. And, again, you can just Internet Google Mary statue in Quito, Ecuador. I'm sure it will pop up. So, anyway, other apparitions to Sister Mariana. The Blessed Mother confided several prophecies, some of which have already taken place, thus validating her words. Many predictions are pertinent to the troubled times of the present. Some of these prophecies include a warning that Masons and other secret sects, S-E-C-T-S, would have an influence even within the church. And here are some of these messages. First of all, quote, a worldwide campaign against the virtues of chastity and purity will succeed in corrupting the youth. Now, I need to tell you, she told Sister Mariana, Mother Mariana, she told her that these prophecies were not for the present time, but were for 400 years from now. Well, 400 plus 1610 is 2010. So keep in mind, these prophecies are for right now that she made in 1610. So let me finish this first quote. A worldwide campaign against the virtues of chastity and purity will succeed in corrupting the youth. Evil will invade childhood innocence. The clergy will leave much to be desired because priests will become careless in their sacred duties. Faithful priests upholding the faith will suffer greatly and will be overwhelmed with vexations in order to stop them from fulfilling their ministry. The precious light of faith will be extinguished in souls by the almost total corruption of customs. Wow. Right on. Wow.
Sound like you were reading the evening news.
No kidding. Well, here's more. Then Our Lady of Good Success says, quote, those who have the financial means to help the church will do nothing. Their miserly attitude toward God and his church will allow evil to seemingly triumph. Then she says, let's see here. The Pope's infallibility will be declared a dogma of faith by the same Pope chosen to proclaim the dogma of the mystery of my Immaculate Conception. He will be persecuted and imprisoned in the Vatican through the usurpation of the pontifical states and through the malice, envy, and avarice of an earthly monarch. And I think right around that time, I remember it was either World War One or two, somewhere in there, where the Pope was confined to the Vatican because Napoleon or somebody at that time was creating chaos. Or maybe it was even Hitler. I don't remember.
I think so.
Yes, Pope Pius XII.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Then another quote, unbridled passions will give way to a total corruption of customs. Satan will reign through the Masonic organization, targeting the children in particular to ensure general corruption.
Then she says, don't see that in the libraries every day.
Yep. Then she says, unhappy the children of those times. Seldom will they receive the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. As for the sacrament of penance, they will confess only while attending Catholic schools. which the devil will do his utmost to destroy by means of persons in authority. Then she says, the same will occur with Holy Communion. Oh, how it hurts me to tell you that there will be many and enormous public and hidden sacrileges. Then she says, in those times, the sacrament of extreme unction will be largely ignored. Many will die without receiving it, being thereby deprived of innumerable graces, consolation, and strength in the great leap from time to eternity. Now, this next one you're really going to react to. She says, quote, the sacrament of matrimony, which symbolizes the union of Christ with the church, will be thoroughly attacked and profaned. Masonry, then reigning, will implement iniquitous laws aimed at extinguishing this sacrament. They'll make it easy for all to live in sin, thus multiplying the birth of illegitimate children without the church's blessing. Yeah, I'd say marriage has taken a hit. Then she says,
"John, what
secular?
What?
Go ahead.
Just because I got to rock and roll, but I have to say that is the purpose and the reason for deeper truth. That's exactly why we are here, and that is our prayer. Because when you look at what we are praying for, I was inspired. As Alabama and Kansas City goes, as far as football goes, deeper truth is excelling on Buck Talk Radio. Our edition of the Stand in the Gap Saint of the Day series, dedicated for praying for our Catholic priests, for children, for those who have recently passed from this life, for our soldiers and veterans, for America, and we do pray for Pope Francis and our clergy today throughout the world. We pray for those with addictions, those needing deliverance, those in hospitals with diagnosis of serious illness, for prisoners and their families, for the elderly, for the prodigals, for the poor souls in purgatory. And several grand slams have been hit by our outstanding speakers, Dr. Gregory Thompson with our Eucharistic Miracle series, and John Carpenter with our Journey with Mary series. Bruce Willis with our These Men They Call Knights, and Kansas State Representative District 3 Sutton on our political analysis. And thank you out there, all out there in Deeper Truth Land, keeping us high in the charts, number one on Blog Talk Radio in the religion category far and away. And then Mike Sheeran's contribution to our show is inspiring, helping us holding on the top spot. And so I'm just saying, I'm thankful to all of those out there. And John, what you have done for 10 years with this series, priceless.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. But I love it.
And it is.
It never gets old. Never gets old.
It never gets old. It never gets old.
No.
And if we can help one person through it all, then it's well worth it.
And we have.
And that's what it's about.
Yes.
And
yep.
We have helped many. And I just love it from Peru, you know, from all over the world, actually.
Right.
130
right.
nations.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay.
So.
Well, take care, Donald, if you have to rock and roll. We'll. Oh, by the way,
yes.
Next week I'm tied up in a wedding next week in Sunday evening, so I can't do a live show. We can do a golden oldie for everybody. So,
or give me the topic. Give me the topic, and we will touch upon it as we will also as kind of pre for when you are back. So I think that would be great.
All right.
Just
well,
give me
we'll
a, cause like, yes, yes, that would be great because, I mean, when it comes to Journey with Mary, I am so thankful to have John Carpenter as my co-host because none better.
Well, thank you.
None better.
It's a joy for me. It doesn't feel like work. It's just a joy to share all this amazing information.
You know, so, when you were reading those predictions from Mary, what was running through my head was that thing that that Mike usually puts on, if I were the devil, what I would do.
Yeah.
It's like, holy mackerel.
And in fact, we've got a bunch more to read here. So I'll get back to that so people can, it's amazing what we're going to hear. All right. So the next one is, secular education will contribute to a scarcity of priestly and religious vocations. Then the Holy Sacrament of Holy Orders will be ridiculed, oppressed, and despised. For in this, both the church and God himself are oppressed and reviled, since he is represented by the priest. All right. And the next one, we still got another page or so of these. Here's the next one. The devil will work to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every way, working with baneful cunning to destroy the spirit of their vocation and corrupting many. Those who will thus scandalize the Christian flock will bring upon all priests the hatred of bad Christians and the enemies of the one Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. This apparent triumph of Satan will cause enormous suffering to the good pastors of the church and to the supreme pastor and vicar of Christ on earth, who, a prisoner in the Vatican, will shed secret and bitter tears in the presence of God our Lord, asking for light, sanctity, and perfection for all the clergy of the world to whom he is King and Father. The next quote, unhappy times will come wherein those who should fearlessly defend the rights of the church will instead, blinded despite the light, give their hand to the church's enemies and do their bidding. But when evil seems triumphant and when authority abuses its power, committing all manner of injustice and oppressing the weak, their ruin shall be near. They will fall and crash to the ground. Then will the church, joyful and triumphant like a young girl, reawaken and be comfortably cradled in the arms of my most dear and elect son of those times. If he lends an ear to the inspirations of grace, one of which will be the reading of these great mercies that my son and I have had towards you, we shall fill him with graces and very special gifts, and will make him great on earth and much greater in heaven. There we have reserved a precious seat for him, because heedless of men, he will have fought for truth and ceaselessly defended the rights of the church, deserving to be called martyr. Another quote, at the end of the 19th century and throughout a great part of the 20th, many heresies will be propagated in these lands. A small number of souls will be secretly safeguarding the treasure of faith and virtues, but will suffer a cruel, unspeakable, and long martyrdom. Many will descend to their graves through the violence of suffering and will be counted among the martyrs who sacrifice themselves for the country and the church. And then she says, to be delivered from the slavery of these heresies, those whom the merciful love of my son has destined for this restoration will need great willpower, perseverance, courage, and confidence in God. To try the faith and trust of these just ones, there will be times when all will seem lost and paralyzed. It will then be the happy beginning of the complete restoration. In those times, and this is this one I find very interesting. In those times, meaning now, the atmosphere will be saturated with the spirit of impurity, which, like a filthy sea, will engulf the streets and public places with incredible license. Innocence will scarcely be found in children or modest women. Oh, bingo.
Yeah. I think a few of those, like when you were talking about marriage and stuff, that goes back up to the Second Vatican Council when they changed the sacraments, the marriage sacrament, the holy order sacraments. They gutted that. I mean, they really did. They demasculized the marriage sacrament. I talked about what they did to baptism, removed all those prayers plus other things. I mean, I'm just scraping the top of the thing. So a lot of what she said, I think she was talking about, you know, Vatican II, to be perfectly honest.
Could be. Well, there's
because,
more.
I bet.
There's more. She says, who should speak seasonably will remain silent. There shall be scarcely any virgin souls in the world. The delicate flower of virginity. Hold on a second. The delicate flower of virginity will seek refuge in the cloisters. Without virginity, fire from heaven will be needed to purify these lambs. Sects, and they're talking like Masons, S-E-C-T-S, having permeated all social classes, will find ways of introducing themselves into the very heart of homes to corrupt the innocence of children. The children's hearts will be dainty morsels to regale the devil.
Well, that sounds like the public school system.
Yeah. Then she says, religious communities will remain to sustain the church and work with courage for the salvation of souls. The secular clergy will fall far short of what is expected of them because they will not pursue their sacred duty. Losing the divine compass, they will stray from this way of priestly ministry mapped out for them by God and will become devoted to money, seeking it too earnestly. And she says,
that sounds like, dead on. Wow.
Yep. Remember, this is 1600s that she's predicting our times.
Yeah.
Then she says, pray constantly, implore tirelessly, and weep bitter tears in the seclusion of your heart, beseeching the Eucharistic heart of my most holy son to take pity on his ministers and to end as soon as possible these unhappy times by sending to his church the prelate who shall restore the spirit of her priests. Then Mother Mariana of Jesus Torres, of Jesus Torres, died on January 16th, 1635, after receiving the Holy Eucharist and the sacraments of the Church. After over 300 years, in 1906, when the Church was being remodeled, her tomb was opened. They were stunned to find her body perfectly intact with no decay after 300 years. Now, Doc, you and I aren't going to look good in 1 week.
Are you getting on decaying now? man.
It truly is miraculous. No decay after 300 years. It's even more now because 1635 and we're at 20, we're approaching
23.
Just short of 400. We're just short of 400 years.
Yeah.
In just 12 more years. 12 more years, it'll be 400 years. And she still is incorrupt. Incorrupt body is now kept in a small chapel in the lower level of the cloistered convent. Her cause for beatification was opened on the diocesan level by the local bishop. At the conclusion of the investigation of her heroic virtues, she was given the title Servant of God. At the request of Blessed Mary, her statue was placed above the abbess chair in the upper choir of the convent because she desired to be the abbess of the convent until the end of time. Unlike the statue in Madrid, which depicts the baby Jesus on the left arm, while the right hand of the Virgin holds the queenly scepter, the statue in Quito also has the baby Jesus on the left arm, while the right hand holds a crozier and the keys of the convent, not a royal scepter. The crozier denotes her authority as abbess.
Right.
And one other thing, when she, before all this happened, when she was having visits from Mary, and Jesus also appeared to her numerous times, Jesus told her that people will not understand why many of his servants are found incorrupt. It will be a mystery to mankind why he does that. Now, that is the only time in all my research that Jesus has commented on having bodies being incorrupt, and obviously a heavenly willful act on his part. So that's really cool. And she, of course, was incorrupt. So he told her that, and then she became one of those bodies herself. So her life is just amazing.
I find it really reassuring that only the Catholic Church has incorrupt saints. Only the Latin Catholic Church. All these incorrupt saints, all these bodies that they are finding, they all went to the Latin Mass. There's, you know, you gotta, when you start, like you said, all the similarities in all these apparitions, you know, it kind of points to one direction.
Uh-huh. Yep, it sure does. I love it. And this apparition has just been one of my favorites because of the statue and all the things that happened with her, the messages, and then these predictions. It's just such a rare and beautiful series of things all together. And then her being incorrupt on top of that.
That's
just
incredible.
Really proved that Heavenly saw her as special and did not want her to be turned to dust. All right. Well, we got it all in there, Doc. And we did it right before we ran out of time. So I thank you, Doc. Your participation has been invaluable and helpful.
I do have one thing I want to say. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. And I said something, I was like, I'm going to put that on the show. And this is out, I'm talking to all the people out there in the world. You may know somebody, or you may be broken. You think your life is broken. You're at that point. And that's okay. Because I got news for you. Everybody's broken. It's okay to be broken. It's what you do with the pieces that matters. And God will help you put them together. Trust me, I'm living proof of that. I've been broken both physically, mentally, and any other way, spiritually, any way you want to put it. I've been shattered. And, you know, just like Humpty Dumpty, you know, the big man ain't all the king's horses. He's the king. He put me together again. So it can be done.
Well, he did a good job of it.
Yeah.
He did. All right. Well, at this point, I'm going to ask for everyone out there to please join with me now in saying a worldwide Hail Mary. All our voices from all these countries around the world will rise up in unison to let heaven know that we are honoring the Queen of Heaven, our Blessed Mother Mary. And what a nice tribute for all the voices around the world to rise together as one voice to heaven so that they know we're remembering her. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We appreciate your listening and enjoying this story. Hopefully it's inspirational, it's interesting, and these messages are just phenomenal. And like I said, next week we will have a show to be determined. We'll find out when it comes around. I won't be present because I'm tied up with a wedding, but Donald has some plans afoot. So tune in and we'll see what happens. So with that, thank you all for coming, and thank you, Doc and Donald, and off we go.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.